Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Women in Action Sports Network Conversation Space. I am Alba Pardo, and today we're speaking with Marina Minetti. I've known Marina for a number of years. We met in one of the early gatherings of women in board sports back in SASFE over a decade ago. And I just clicked. We just clicked. It's one of those persons that you kind of get along with despite your differences. You just feel like you can talk to each other. Marina's story is super, super inspirational. She's been at the forefront of girly camps for a number of years, organizing skateboarding, surfing, snowboarding camps all over Europe. And currently she's the lead of the Procession movement, which is part of the Swedish Snowboard Association, and they promote the female snowboarding and freeskiing. And she'll tell us all about it in today's conversation, which I find super, super interesting to see what the nation's doing to promote the female side of these sports and the results they've been getting. They're super interesting. But Marina's also a mother of two, and she's been a criminal therapist. She's been working with troubled young adults and teenagers for a long time as well. And I think that gives her the other side of the coin sometimes, and this experience that it's hard to obtain anywhere else. And she has this deepness about the way she interacts with people that really comes across. And I think maybe it's because of this other job that she's had. She's originally from Finland, but she now lives with her life partner and two kids in Sweden, in the south of Sweden. And I can't wait for you to meet her, because it is truly inspirational, everything she's been through and the outcome she's getting from it, personally and professionally. So without further ado, please welcome Marina Minetti. Well, hello, Marina. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And nice to be with you.
Tell us a bit, where are you now?
I'm now in Borlänge in Sweden, and a little tiny city close to Falun, in the middle of Sweden, kind of. And it's starting to be spring. It's a bit snow still on the hills, but otherwise it's no snow and the flowers are kind of coming up.
Yeah, it's that transition. I can't wait for it. But originally you're from Finland, but you've been living in Sweden for a while. So let's start from the beginning and tell us your story. What have you been up to and what got you to where you are right now?
Yeah, I come from a city called Tampere from Finland, and it's like the second biggest city in the middle of Finland. And thinking about board sports, it kind of, for me, it started, we have this little tiny hill in our city, and I was 11 and doing ski since many years back. I was tiny when dad put me on skis. And then there was like two guys having a snowboard, and they were like some older cool guys. And I just spotted it there and were like, okay, what is that? It looks so much fun. And the same spring we went to Finnish Lapland, as we always did in the springtime. And they had like some rented ones that you could rent out. So me and my cousin, we tried to rent it. And it was like 2 days, you know, falling, but totally love directly. So then there was no more skis for my share after that. And, yeah, it was like, dad, please. And in the end, you know, he went for it. And I was 11. This was year 89. So it is a while ago. And I mean, I guess it was kind of there where it started in the end of 80s. And yeah, and then it was a few years like snowboarding all the time in the winter. Until I was 14, I got sick and had to quit snowboarding, had to quit all the sports. So there was like a long break. But then I kind of got into skateboarding after my late teens. So because I had never kind of forgot board riding, it was always there in the background. And then I kind of got into skateboarding. It is a big skate city where I come from. And I mean, so it was kind of natural meeting the guys and then starting to skate with them and being part of their crew.
Yeah. And now it's your job. I mean, we've known each other for a long time. And I recently discovered that you were never really a girly, or not a girly girl, but like you didn't really have a lot of girlfriends.
No.
And now you're in charge of the girls program for the Swedish Federation or Freestyles Federation.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did you go from all boys and hanging out with the boys and never really have girlfriends to kind of being in charge first girly camps and then
it's a big team. Yeah, it's a big turn. But yeah, as I said, I grew up with boys and I really was more of a boyish. I've always been a toy boy since the beginning. I have an older brother and I kind of thought that that's the way it is. Like you become a boy when you grow a bit bigger and I refused to wear girly clothes since I was maybe 2 years old. When you see all the pictures, I really look like a boy. And my mom and dad, somehow they accepted it. And it was like, okay, that's the way she is. And a wild one from the beginning. And then I was traveling with the boys and doing graffiti and skateboarding. And didn't really like to have girls around me because their world felt so far away. But I had wanted to start surfing for a long time. I haven't been grown up by the sea, but I've always been kind of longing to be by the sea. So it's been always this big love that I really never get, kind of. Mm-hmm. And then I saw, this was the time when kind of internet was quite new. And I saw, I think I Googled, and then I come to a girly camps surf camp, and it was something just for the girls. And it was, but I had never seen anything like it. And I was like, okay, maybe I should try. And my friends, the guys, were like, okay, are you serious? Are you really doing it? Because it's only for the girls and you really don't do girls. and I was like, I guess I have to try my limits. And then I traveled to France and it was like five guys that came and picked me up from the train station. And I was like, okay, this feels safe and good. And then we came to this little camping area where Girly had their first camps. And I don't know, it really was wonderful weeks and meeting all the girls that were like-minded and were really pushing it. And then got to try surfing and also like meeting Marika, who was behind the Girly. She was 38 at the time. And I was 26. So, I mean, she was older and she was kind of a generation of board riding women that I had never met because I had really, there was not so many girls and there was like none girls that were older than me. So kind of meeting her was a big thing and seeing her doing her career and doing her thing. So then she asked if I wanted to work for Girly. And from that way it was. Then I kind of opened up to working with girls. So, I mean, it came naturally in that way.
So you think that experience gave you so much that it's kind of now you're trying to give back, you know, like it feels almost like, oh, wait, this experience of only girls and this safe environment, it pushed me to really good places. And sort of now you're trying to provide that for the new generations.
I think that has actually gotten these last years. I think it, in a way, it just happened that I started to, because I have been working with different board riding, mostly around skateboarding in Finland. And then when I started to work for girls, then it just was for the girls. So I don't think I was really thinking about it in the beginning. It was just cool to be able to travel and do the camps in Europe. And I really liked the environment. It was really like a safe place. And I saw that it was so much fun. And there was different sides of board riding that I hadn't actually met in a guy's world. I'm not saying anything is better. There are different things and both are good, but it was something different. And I really liked it. So So, I mean, it was a natural change in that way. And I worked for Girly like 10 years. And then when it ended, it was kind of like it was a spot when I don't know what to do now. And I had been working in Europe and I was all the time living in Sweden. So I didn't have anything at the home base. And in that point, I kind of wanted to do something in Sweden because it really felt that there was nothing for the girls in Sweden. So I think that's where it just came naturally. Then I think these last years being 40 plus and really now just working for the girls' situation, I think it has gotten more to that point that I really want to push the girls, not maybe just all girls events and so, but more like pushing women's situation. Mm. I mean, being in women in board sports for many years, working for Girly and now working for it, kind of comes natural that in the end you start to see the whole situation and try to do something about it.
Yeah, you just said that it's not better or worse, it's just different. What do you mean by that? How what is different about it, and what are the sort of things that girls, when they are together in this environment, do that they wouldn't normally do in other situations?
And I don't know, this is my experience, but what I had experienced before, like coming to Girly, it was that I had had bad situations with girls, that it was a lot of like bitching around and not being really, really like being supportive to one another. And that was kind of my view. And that was a big reason why I didn't want it to have girls around me, because it was so more simple dealing with the boys. And I kind of loved their world because it was simple and funny and a lot of action. But then when you saw the women's side, where you are pushing each other and like actually loving it together and like having a warm place where the girls support each other and still like doing rad things and really pushing, I think I hadn't really seen that in my life in the same way. And when I got there, I saw that, okay, this is something which is really wonderful, because men and women are different and we have different sides, and just being able to see that actually that sides of women exist and it's a really beautiful place. I think it gave something that I wanted that to be able to exist and grow, and it doesn't take it from anywhere else. I mean, everything else still exists, but be able to show girls that we can have that.
So tell us a bit more about your actual job now with the Swedish Association, and what I mean, you're part of in charge of the promoting the women's programs, but what does that mean, and what are you actually doing?
It came in that way that when Girly ended, and then it was like, it was, as I said, really like empty spot, because I felt that, okay, I've always been doing something, riding a board, but always having some project on side as well. And I felt like, okay, and I really loved working for Girly, and I had been traveling a lot, and suddenly I had become mom, I had a little kid at home, and Girly ended, and I was like, okay, what's gonna happen now? And then we did a TTR competition in Åre for 2 years, and it was actually a really nice event, and it was an all-girl event. We did it with me and three other girls, and it was also a really good experience, a lot of work, but like getting the girls event to Sweden and seeing that there actually is girls that really wants to push things and really want to like have events and so. But in that, I saw also the situation, how it has been in Sweden. We haven't had girls in the top of the world. And I think it has a lot to do that there hasn't been a support for girls. And I got to meet these girls, the few girls that has been in the national team and has been like in the competition circle. And all of them felt that they haven't had support. And actually, like, it has been a situation that has stopped them of like in their careers. And
when they talk about lack of support, do they talk in comparison to their male counterparts? Yeah, and is that in terms of money or in terms of infrastructure around them, or what is?
I think both, like infrastructure ways that like actually the girls wasn't really seen, like they hadn't, like how we say, the official side, they didn't look at the girls. And if there were some girls that were strong enough, or were really wanting to push it forward, maybe they bait themselves to the Euro Cup, or they kind of took themselves up. And if they got lifted from the official side, then they really felt that they were in the wrong spot. They were in the wrong place where they actually were looking, or how do you say, lacking support. And the situation was more, they felt like that they are in the wrong spot. Mm-hmm. And I think all of them felt really badly treated. I don't think it's been with purpose, but that was the situation. That girls were just something extra that didn't really exist. If there was someone, they kind of took in them, but didn't really look how it's supposed to be. And then when we did this competition, then we took contact to the association and wanted to have some support because there were no girls event and this was a big event. And we weren't able to get money or really got support. We got some support as like we got main judges and so, but they weren't really like interested at all. But at this time, Stefan Karlsson, which is our sport manager now, he was like having the competitions for association and he became our main judge for the event. And we were kind of looking at the situation and how does it look like this? We have never had girls in top of the world from Sweden and there is nothing for the girls. And then it was the competition was piece of cake. When the last event had been, Stefan became the sport manager and we were actually then sitting down that spring and he was like, okay, now I'm the captain. What should we do for the girls? And so we got a little budget for the next winter and like trying to grow something to support the girls. And then it was kind of the situation was that there were not so much girls. And so we kind of started from the scratch and looking where are the girls and how can we give support for this little group and how can we grow it. And it's now 5 years ago. And since then, I've been working for the association for pushing the girls.
And
yeah, it has happened a lot.
And how do you grow it? How do you grow? You know, there's no scene. There's only a few girls at the right age as well, with the right setting of not only availability and love for the sport, but also that can do it and have the support in their families and so on. So how do you grow that?
I think in the beginning, it was really like hand-picking those few girls. And we got some help for the, like we went to this place called Svanstein, which was owned by Ingemar Backman and Johan Olofsson and Jakob Söderqvist at the time. And these legends were like, okay, come up here and we can have a camp up here. And we went there and they were really treating us well and showing these girls that we built the park for them where they are able to kind of park at their level. And having these camps and really trying to like grow connection and relationship to these girls, helping them kind of hands out what they need and what should we do for the girls that is there. And we did these camps for a few years and kind of being close to the girls. And then also the word went from mouth to mouth to other girls. And I don't know, these years it's been like different events, giving them support in their careers, you know, they're trying to push them to the different sponsors, different companies to work and kind of really growing from the scratch the scene. And I think now we are in a totally different spot. I think it's been internationally as well that women's snowboarding has been growing a lot, but we really see the results of our work today. And I think this winter has been like really, really kind of a eye-opener in that way, that actually we are in a totally different situation and now we kind of have these groups that are in our schools and coming to the national team and the competitions are way more equal and there is these different groups of doing their own events already from the girls. So yeah, it's a totally different situation.
I don't think I can think of another nation that through the Federation they have a woman-specific program to push the girls and the upcoming generations and the girls that have some talent that they can move on to, you know, the higher teams and so on. There is like technification teams and youngster teams, but I can't think of an example of another nation that has women specific one. So,
well, I mean that way, but I think it's been like, there has been really girls that have been pushing it in the right way. Like in Finland, there was Satu Järvelä and Noora Vihervaara. They were doing like an amazing job. And that was kind of resulted that the Finnish side was really, they had amazing girls and still have, but like you could really see results of their work. Mm. And like now in Norway, they have a young girl who is helping girls out. But I think I agree that I've been having a really nice spot in that way, being able to work just for pushing the girls. And I mean, it's Stefan that I can thank for that he kind of saw that we have a need and there happens stuff when we really concentrate on it.
Yeah, maybe that's what you say. It's not so much about maybe having a program, but there's been these women and these figureheads that have been looking out for the scene and the women's side of the sport instead of, but there's never been the actual structure within the federation or the association to support that side of the sport.
And I really love it that I'm able to work for the association that kind of is there behind and can come. I mean, it's not really that but you are there in behind and can kind of look at the situation and think like, oh, what is needed and in what way you're supposed to develop the situation. Mm. And like, we're actually going to have like these meetings to plan these days right now, what is going to happen next winter. And I think it's so interesting because suddenly we are in a totally different situation. There is so much events, there is so much girls in different levels. And then it's like, okay, we have to think about our role in it again and figure out what's the next step and how you do it. So no, I think it's, I really like this job. It's really interesting.
So within these 5 years, 6 years of history on this program, how important or how not important have been girls-only events? And what do you think is the evolution to those?
It has been, I mean, that has been the whole key in the beginning. Mm. I think they were totally needed and they are still really needed. I think that has become so obvious that there is this difference between the sexes that in the beginning, when the girls are not so good maybe at the sport yet, they are shy, coming to the park and they don't feel home there and they need support in different way. And it's interesting because I still get like these phone calls and mails from parents that are telling about their girls that like the girls want to, but they don't really like want to show their riding. I mean, there are girls that actually the parents go after the park has been closed. They go with their tiny girls to the parks that no one will see them. And I mean, there's like these so extreme situations that I get to hear all the time that I still think that it's to getting it more natural for our girls to taking the spot. It's still needed with the all girls events. Mm. And I really been seeing here that they can grow from the all girl events. They are able to take the space and they are able to grow their self-esteem and then like evaluating and being able to take it everywhere. Mm. And I really see it in that way that we have these girls that have been in the program like now for 5 years. And now it's like, I mean, they don't need all girl events no more.
No.
They are taking their spot in the sport. They're having sponsors. They're having different own events. They're having their spot. And then it's like, then it's not needed anymore.
They have the confidence.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still like, they still love the all-girl events when they are done the right way.
Yeah.
Because I think you can do such a cool all-girl events as long as they're kind of done in the right way.
What does that mean, in a right way?
Yeah, well, I don't really know. But I guess it's somehow that it doesn't, I don't know how to explain it, but it doesn't have to be
pink and unicorns
and flowers.
Yeah, or it could be. I mean, whatever.
It can be. Exactly. There can be really cool things that are that way as well. But I think that we can really done cool events. We can build amazing parks with just girls shapers. I mean, we can have labels that are all girl labels, and they shops that are girl shops. I mean, it doesn't have to be. It can be really, really good being all girls as well.
Mm. It is interesting to see, you know, that it's perhaps another tool to help the sport evolve. And it's not something, you know, when we're talking about all girls events, it's not something that it has to be excluding anybody, but it's just a tool to include more people into the sport in a more natural way. Because often we hear it's like, well, but we don't have all men's events. It's like,
but many of them are pretty much all men events.
Yeah, it's like you don't need them because most of them you just have guys. Not because you don't invite the girls, it's just because maybe those girls don't feel confident enough.
I have never felt, how do you say it? Like, I've always been supported by the guys, and like, I haven't had one all girls events where I haven't had the guys working, being judges, being the shapers. I mean, it's not about that. It's not at all like excluding. I really feel that it's important that we have our guys back. And I mean, I feel so happy in that way that I've only felt supported, and they have been like made it possible. All these events are many of the guys that has been in the industry and the riders. I think it's their will as well that it's more equal and there is more girls on board. And I mean, it's way more fun for everyone. So
Now I might be a bit of a reaching, and I don't know at all whether you have experience on this field or whether you have any members that feel like this, but are you working, because we always talk about male and female riders or athletes or people. And of course now there's like non-binary people that don't feel in that category. Are you working with them? There's members in your organizations. Do they come to the girls' events? Do they come to the men's events? Do they kind of mix in?
I think it's a huge difference between skateboarding and snowboarding. Like, when I've been working in skateboarding, I was like the skate manager for Girly and doing skate camps in Europe and seeing a lot of like girls that were lesbian, and also these girls that are like, I mean, most, they were all girls, but it was more like, it was totally like this mix of how their sexuality was. And it was kind of natural in that scene. And then when I come to the snowboard world, I don't see it at all that much. And I still think it's a huge taboo. Let's say that you would be homosexual. I think it's so hard for the guys to come out. And I don't know really the girls' situation, because I know that it wasn't so hard in the skate scene, but it was also that a lot of the girls were lesbian. But I don't know. I have seen it so little, and I've been wondering actually, why is it this way? Why does it feel so, I mean, it's kind of traditional. It's also thinking about like that it's not so multicultural. Like, we have had now some events for the girls that are trans or non-binary. No, more like that girls that are from different cultures.
Inclusive. Multicultural events. Yeah, exactly. Right.
So I mean, it's been really like, let's say, white and like,
oh yeah,
girls that are heterosexual. So at least this scene that we have is still really much that way. And I don't really know if it's so inclusive, because I don't really see it here. And I've been thinking about it many times, that why does it look that way?
Do you think there's something we can do to change that? I mean, I'm pretty sure we can, like the same way we didn't have girls practicing the sports and you have created that space. I'm sure we can do something to adjust it so everyone feels welcome.
I think at least, like, we have this from World Snowboard Federation, we make these clinics that there is different situations that we take and different how do you say, different things that we take up. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things. And I think it's just important that we kind of inform that everybody knows that we try to include everyone, that it's totally okay that you can come to talk if you have questions, you have thoughts. I think that has been really my kind of crown in everything, that I really want to have the open relationship to our writers and the girl and women and the guys in the industry, because I think that's the one important thing, that people are not afraid to talk. Mm. So yeah, I think of course these questions are going to come up more.
Yeah, I just think sometimes maybe it's the narrative or the labels we use, right? Like if I'm non-binary and I don't identify myself as a male or as a female, yeah, and you run a all girls event or all,
yeah,
it's really hard for me to then come in and be like,
absolutely,
that environment would benefit me more, because I'm either, you know, yeah, I'm not confident enough to kind of go in a bigger event or in like with more people or in front of everyone. So these kind of setting that, yeah, you were describing for girls, it would suit me more, but then I don't identify as a girl either, so yeah, you know, where's my place?
Exactly. Because we have been kind of writing like for the girls and those who identify as females or girls, yeah, mm-hmm, but it's true that I mean when you don't really know, like, mm-hmm, in which side you are, I think it must be difficult, mm-hmm, to like take the courage, mm-hmm, and maybe come in. So I really have to think about that more as well, that, mm-hmm, how to be more inclusive, mm-hmm, I mean in all the events, because I think these situations are that we don't really see enough, mm-hmm, people are not feeling so comfortable, mm-hmm,
yeah, I mean it's still, I think we all have to keep asking and, yeah, asking what we don't know and kind of keep curious about it, but it's definitely, you know, like inclusivity and in sport, it's a huge topic, and I believe it can be a good tool to help society to be more inclusive in general. Okay. So I think we tend to be more supportive environments than, yeah, maybe the mass society.
Yeah.
But okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just hard to get into the sports scene than it is anywhere else. But hopefully we can keep learning.
And I think it's an important question. I mean, I've never really been so sure about, I mean, if I was born as a woman in my body, mm, but like I've never had felt the identity, like really don't know, should I be a man or should I be a woman? And then I think when it comes to that point that you have the urge that you really have to like think how you are, of course, and you do sports. I mean, it's a huge topic. We think about, we have these like women that has been men and are in sports and the other way around. And I mean, we will see it even in the extremes more and more. Mm. And there is so many that are more like thinking about this question and when they are growing up. And I mean, I'm sure that there is going to become more and more these questions, because we really try to grow a close relationship to our writers. And I mean, I feel really happy about that way, that many of the girls, they really share a lot of stuff. Mm. With us. So I mean, there will probably come more of these questions as well.
Yeah. How do you see the global scene at the moment for both female snowboarding, skateboarding? I mean, obviously the level's gone ballistic. Yeah. It's like so huge, but it's still less women at the top, like compared to the men's field is still way bigger. Yeah.
I still have to say that it's crazy what has happened in the women's
scene. Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
I was just thinking about it, that like when we did the first women in board sports, and I mean it's just a bit more than 10 years ago. And I mean it's even in that time, it's a crazy difference. Mm. And I really feel that many of the companies are at least including more women. Mm. And I mean, but I also think it probably comes from the inside. There is more women in the different spots in the industry and in the sports. Mm-hmm. But it's still, I mean, of course, it's still a huge difference. And there comes these extreme situations where women have to ride a cord, which is like huge, and there the weather can be whatever, and it's not thought. And they might be like not taken as not equal in many situations. but I think it is changing all the time. Mm.
So what do you think it's gonna take for the field to be a similar size, both in men and women?
I don't know if it's gonna be exactly a same size, but I think the important thing is that we could have exactly the same possibilities, like to build our careers. If it is as a writer, if it is as a event organizer, if it is as a coach, filmer, photographer, whatever. And I think there anyway, I mean, this is our battle. We can't expect anyone else to take that battle. And I mean, having the right partners and having the right men at your side, I think we are like having the torch and like taking us forward. Mm. And I mean, so it's, I think it is on the right path, but I mean, it takes time.
Yeah, I think your work with the Swedish Association is kind of like the perfect example for it. You know, it's something that didn't exist that you created together with your allies and, you know, but also the time is taken, you know, 5 years back and now you're in a different position. Give it another 5 years. Where are you going to be? I think you have not only created that space, but you're also building it and you're making the space bigger for more people to come in. You know,
I mean, it's been impossible if we think like the sport in Sweden. I mean, it's been impossible that there would be girls in all this position because there were no girls. There were not those girls that were able to be in these positions. So, I mean, sometimes you kind of also have to grow something from the scratch. I mean, there were a few girls, but not enough. And I mean, that the sport could be equal in all different roles. I mean, you really need a way bigger mass of women. And so I think it's that way that suddenly there are women in the different spots. And if you think about some companies, like as an example for Burton now in Europe, there is women in so many spots and they're taking more women. And I mean, that has somehow to do with, okay, someone gets a spot and it's like, okay, I don't want to be alone here. I want to get more women in this. And I guess it's for the writers as well. I mean, they're pushing each other, the women, and making more space for one another. And we are not there anymore that there is like one, because it was kind of when we grew up or when I grew up, it was really that there might be one girl in a crew or not any girl, but there was usually probably not two girls in a crew. And I mean, so I think we have come from that point to that there is more girls. And there is even girls crews and there is girls in different spots in the industry and in the sport. So I mean, yeah.
It is when it comes to money and federations, it's my understanding that, you know, a sport gets backing after. So you get so much money depending on your performance in, let's say, the Olympics or the World Cup or and how is that money distributed now? Like, or how do you build it? Like, if you have nothing, like if you don't have any girls at the top competing at a international level, how does the federation put money into that? And how do you make sure that it keeps coming, even though, because you're in the building stage, so you don't have those athletes to kind of bring that income for the federation from the government. So how is that managed and how can you explain or set an example for maybe other nations to do a similar thing?
Yeah, I think it's an important and interesting question. And in somehow I feel lucky these years, at least in Sweden, I really feel that the equality is a big and important question. Mm-hmm. Like, let's think about this Me Too wave that was, and there has been a lot of situation where kind of it comes more to the front, the equality question. And I see that our big sponsors are really willing to make campaigns and willing to put the money in the equality. So I think it comes from there that we have way more awareness about the situations in sports in general. And so I think we see that it is more that we want to put money for the girls, at least in Sweden, when it has to come to my sponsors. Because I've been many times kind of, they are like, okay, what is needed? What are you doing that we could get more equality and more women? And they even ask, what can we do? as companies. So, I mean, I think it's also a situation that kind of puts rings into the water, that you try to do something and they see that you're doing something and they think like, okay, I mean, we need
to. Is it for some companies, is it a bit of a, I want to say greenwash, it's not the right term because that's for like environmental stuff, but is it kind of that mentality of like, oh, let's put money into that so we're seen as this equal, but then we don't really care? Or is it genuine? And
yeah,
you know.
And I think it's been a difficult question, because it's also when let's say that we have campaigns or something that has to do with our riders. And I mean, if there is a company that wants to do equal stuff for the equality, and I mean, it's always like a question that, okay, what is the base for it? Why are we doing this? And I think it's part of my work when it is growing that see that what are actually the stuff that we're supposed to do, and in what way? Because I think it's important that we're not showing these riders in a, let's say, wrong way. I don't know how you can say it, but I mean, I don't want to see, just as we've been talking with women in board sports, that, okay, these picture perfect girls, let's say less clothes, not riding. I mean, you really want the sport to be shown as amazing as it is and as amazing as it's growing to be all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more that there can be sometimes that, oh, we have to do with equality, but then we have to think that how is it that is supposed to be done, and what actually helps the situation? Mm. And I mean, it needs more money. That's where it comes, that girls can have their opportunities.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they don't wanna be in the industry and just be happy to be able to be there, but not getting what they deserve.
I recall some examples you actually brought up in the open conversation we had a few weeks back on how you used the established names in the sport to support the female riders in that scene. So it'd be great for you to tell us an example or two about how you're using the more established people or riders or athletes or names to support the upcoming ones, and what have you learned from that?
Yeah, you mean the campaign that we did?
Well, I think you said, boys, yes.
Yeah, there was the boys. Yeah, yeah, we did a campaign, and that was actually from our sponsor. It was them who had the idea, and they made a campaign where like the best guys, our national team riders and a few other guys, they were showing this campaign and telling why we should look at the girls and that they are amazing riders and showing them. And I mean, I think that is an important way, because it's not just that the guys show the girls, but it's also that actually the riders itself remembers to look at the girls, because sometimes, I mean, they're so into their own thing that even they want to support the girls, but they, you know, they just don't think about it.
Yeah, and they're trying to do their best themselves, right?
Exactly. So. And I mean, they might even act wrongly, because they are in their own rider bubble and like pushing it so hard. And I think in that way that we do more awareness that we are both women and guys here, I think it helps. I think it helps for the environment to be more, not just equal, but I think more supportive in many ways. I think many of these things, they help even guys to open up for each other, because it can be a really hard environment even for many of the guys.
So on this 5-year journey and everything else, what are your biggest lessons that you've learned, or things that have surprised you that you didn't expect would happen that way, and you're happily, like, positively surprised?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm learning all the time. But I could have never imagined, like, when thinking about 20 or 20 plus years back. I mean, I remember when I was skating, and I'm maybe 17 year old, and I was skating, and then one day, like, I skated to the city and had like a skirt on me. I usually never wear a skirt, but then I just had it. And I mean, everybody was looking at you, and it was like you were like landed from the UFO. And I mean, now no one would even notice. So I mean, I think the world at least for our sport, has changed totally. And I mean, I could have never imagined where we are today. And I think that's where when people are like, okay, but it should be more equal. For me, many times I'm like, wow, what has happened? Because so much has anyway happened in quite of a short period of time. Hmm. And I believe and trust that we are in a process that is going to the right direction. I think it's more that I would really want to see that our sport goes to the, that it becomes like more strong and more beautiful, that you know, it's able to stay cool and cultural in its own way, mm. and that we're able to keep it as amazing sport, mm. and that it won't be just a buy-off in somehow, because now it is huge already. I mean, it is in the US, it is everywhere, it is mm. mainstream already. So I mean, but I think it still has its soul. And I think the women's scene, it didn't exist when I was a tiny girl. And now it totally exists. And I think it is pretty amazing in many ways. And try to kind of keep it that way.
Mm. There's a huge wave now, or really small kids. I guess it's because we're all becoming, you know, parents. And we've been in the sport for so long. And there's like a huge wave of kids, like snowboarding and skateboarding. And all these sports, and of course, it doesn't matter, girls, boys, like you see everyone. Mm-hmm. But studies show that girls drop out from sports around their teenage years. How do you think now that, you know, we're having all these base of kids with gear, with everything, like they're so good. Like it didn't exist when I was little. And I mean, snowboarding, like, small boards didn't even exist. So it's great that we have kids so early and so many of them and so interested and so happy about it. What do you think we can do to keep them in the sport in the long run?
Yeah, I think we have been like concentrating that in a different way, because we see it not just like, it's so weird. Like if it has to do with girls that are already like trying to become, let's say, snowboard coaches and a bit older, and then they come to the like first point and then they drop out. And when they come in their certain years, in their teenage years, they drop out. And I think it's still a situation that is not easily like fixed. But I think in that way, that like, as we have had girls, when they come to a certain age and when we invite them to the camps, they're like, but I'm not really concentrating on snowboarding right now because everything else is more interesting. And also even the parents are like, but you know, they are not going to the training, then they shouldn't come to the camps. But no, I really think that then it has to do that still trying to have the relationship and trying to kind of offer them and understand that they are in a certain situation that they might not just think about snowboarding. Mm. And then they might come back. But I guess it's trying to keep it interesting in a way, even those years. Mm. And what are the things that makes them keep it in their life anyway?
Yeah, because I feel like maybe boys drop out for a few years and then they come back.
Yeah.
But for women, it's a bit harder than to come back into the sport after they've dropped out.
Absolutely. And I think this has been the question that we talk a lot, that how actually try to keep them when we see that it starts to get uninteresting, everything else is more interesting, that okay, in what level can we have it that it still keeps it interesting, and are there something else we can offer, is there something else they need at that point? But I think it is a big question, because that really is for real. That happens, that drop out in certain.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's not only for snowboarding or skateboarding. I think it's across the board, and that's like traditionally what happens with sports. But I mean, yeah, I guess it's a good start what you got going, and you're looking to get all these women and all these girls and support them in the right way. If there's something you wish for the next few years, what would that be? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I wish that we're able to take like even more space in a way, and be able to get our sport or snowboarding, whatever we call it, to be even more inclusive and make it grow, having like all these events that are coming and popping out, not just like the normal traditional competitions, but all these amazing events that are around the world and different parks that are building. I just hope that it like that there is support and there is sponsors and that there is like possibilities that the industry will grow and like feel good in a way.
And so, one last thing, and it's a tricky one.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to ask this question more and more to all of our guests, because it almost starts to feel wrong to snowboard sometimes with everything that's happening in the world. You know, like we're spoiled. We're so lucky to have access to all of this. Again, it's a rich people sport, especially snowboarding or skiing. Yeah. But I mean, you work with not only snowboarding and skiing, but also skateboarding. So yeah, how can we even justify practicing and promoting this?
I think it's hard. And I think a lot about the nature. I mean, I think it's, there are these questions. There is political, there is the nature-wise questions. And I mean, of course, I think it's a really good and hard question. And we have to like think, how do we change our habits? How do we change the way of living that it's more more sustainable? And also, I mean, how much money and resources can we put into our sport? And there I'm happy that at least more people are opening up their eyes and there is more movements. And for the, let's say, equality, that every people should be like more access and that we should protect our winters. But I mean, I think there needs so much more these kind of movements that are thinking about not just the having fun part, but our responsibility as a people in general. When we are doing a sport that is, it takes the nature resources. And it's also, as I said, it's really privileged sport, which like where you need a lot of money. And there, I think one big part is that we should grow different foundations. We should grow different organizations. And that you also our governments, I mean, not maybe just thinking about snowboarding, but it's really should be more regulated, thinking about our nature and all these parts. And I was thinking about when you asked about the women's as well, like where do you want to see it growing? I think there we that are older and like have the experiment, I think we should also take our responsibility in a way and try to take care that all the women's situation grows in the right direction. So I mean, I believe that there is has to be not maybe political, but there should be interest and really groups that are trying to evaluate in the right direction.
We have to be the moms.
More co-working. Huh?
Yeah, we have to be the moms here.
Yeah, we have to be the moms and more co-working over the borders, because I mean it is needed for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think initiatives like yours and figures and role models like yourself are definitely super necessary, and we're so thankful to have you and your team. So thank you for all the work you're doing. Thank you for telling us about it. Good luck with the summer and the next winter, and we'll keep talking and we'll keep pushing and helping each other, because that's what we believe in. So thank you.
And thank you, Alba, for all your work, and I'm so looking forward to more situations in women in action sports and everything. So
oh yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.